You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Dan Weinbaum.
What? Mr. Parks.
What was the name of that comet again? The choo-choo-chong?
The choo-choo-chong.
C-2023.
No, that is not what you said. That what you said.
Oh, the other name. Yeah, that's the Chuchunshan Atlas comet.
Do you do this on purpose?
I didn't name it.
No, but I think you just... I think you find these stories that you otherwise would not report if it wasn't for a name that would get our attention.
Sometimes like, I do, but this is rather important, you know.
Was it Chuchunshan?
Chuchunshan.
Huh?
Chuchunshan dash Atlas.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I know.
And you're going to be able to see it.
This is what I heard in the newscast. Blah, 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 blah. Chuchunshan. I looked at Scott and I go, what?
What did he just say? I go, he does it on purpose. Did I not?
It would be funny if it wasn't as insulting.
Oh.
I don't know.
Look who can dish it.
Yeah. But can't take it.
Uh-huh. It sounds like a delicious entree. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Like something you ordered at Bowling's.
And this is a comet, and it is important. Why?
Well, because it is going to be seen from Earth. It's on an 80,000-year orbit, and this is the only time you are going to be able to see it.
Where and when can I see it?
In the sky tonight.
Which direction should I be looking?
Look to the west-southwest. About 2 or 3 fingers above the horizon.
Okay. Well, the horizon is different based on where you are in the city.
The horizon's always the horizon. There might be trees in the way, but the horizon's always...
So should I do it from ground level or from the top of the tree?
You should go up on your roof.
Now, okay. Why would I do that?
So you could see the Chuchunshan Atlas comet.
All right.
Okay.
Do you remember seeing... Oh, gosh, what was the name of the other comet?
Halley's comet?
Halley's comet. Yes. See how easy that was?
Pronounced Halley's.
Nobody's ever pronounced it Halley.
It is Halley's Comet. It is. Growing up, we were all told to pronounce it Halley's. And then as we got older and we learned more, it's Halley's. Fight me. I am 1,000% correct on this.
Is she right?
I do believe that Dana is correct.
It's Halley's Comet?
Our entire life. Comet.
Comet. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My comment was that you are pronouncing it incorrectly.
Yeah, Halley's comet.
My whole life is a lie.
Yes.
H-A-L-L-E-Y. Halley.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now this one, 80,000-year orbit, so you won't ever get a chance to see it again.
Not in this lifetime.
Mm-mm.
By the way, the new football rankings are out. Missouri, you are 19th. K-State, 17th. KU's nowhere to be found because they're terrible.
Yeah.
It was a bye week.
We've had some issues. Hey, we did not lose during the bye week.
Yeah.
Good job.
Woo!
Your top five are Texas at number 1, Oregon 2, Penn State 3, Ohio State 4, Georgia 5. Also, and this is interesting, Army is 23rd. Navy is 25th.
Wow.
It is the first time in 64 years that those two schools have been in the top 25 at the same time. The last time Army and Navy were in the top 25 together was 1960.
Happy birthday, Navy.
That's right. Also, the AP has just released their preseason top 10 in basketball.
Please.
KU is number 1.
I saw Coach Self during a news conference earlier today. I just looked up and saw him there, and I thought, well, there's our number 1 ranking.
By the way,
I just assumed that's what it was.
5 of the top 10 teams in the AP preseason are in the Big 12. 5 of the top 10.
Wow.
Stands to reason.
KU is number 1. Houston, 4. Iowa State, 5. Baylor, 8. Arizona, 10.
If you want to live through the NIL and through reconferencing, this is the way to do it. You're never going to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten in football, so dominate basketball. That's how you stay alive.
Now, some of these are newer schools to the Big 12, correct?
Yes.
It's always evolving, like our pronunciation of Halley's Comet.
Or Chuchunshan.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's pretty close. Thank you. Well done.
Yes, Arizona's brand new, and Houston, I think, is either in their first or second year in the conference. So, good on us.
Have you heard that there are fans demanding that the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles be fired to be replaced by one Jason Kelce?
Say what?
Yes. Could he coach? I just love him.
Well, I don't. To a certain level,
I'm sure he could.
Here's the question: does he want to?
That's a lot of work.
It's probably. I don't want to say it's easier to be a commentator. It's probably.
It is easier.
It's probably
be a commentator.
More fun to be a commentator.
It is a lot easier to be a commentator than a coach.
Man, he is funny.
What is the Philadelphia Eagles record? Are they even?
I think they just like him so much, and they're not necessarily enamored with their current head coach.
Oh, you mean the one that took you to the Super Bowl two years ago?
Well. Yeah, but
fickle weather.
Every time they lose coordinators, the team gets worse. So,
well, what is their record right now?
Win yesterday, I believe they're sitting at 500 because they beat the lowly Browns.
He apparently has already said he would not coach in the NFL because exactly what you said, Scott, it's too time consuming. But he has kept the door open for a coaching position in like maybe high school, maybe college, but not NFL.
I would, if I was a super rich, superstar NFL player, I would do like what Tim Grunhardt did. I would coach it like Bishop Liege.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then he went and coached the line at KU for a couple of years. And then I think he came back to Miege as an assistant. I would do that. But I'm not getting into the weeds of a professional football and all the egos, the personalities, the contracts. And I'm not getting into college. There's a reason that Nick Saban left Alabama. He got sick and tired of all the NIL deals and having to deal with players.
That's the new reality that we have created.
Well, I know. It's a Pandora's box that they've opened where these kids come in to Alabama, for example, Nick Saban, and they play for you for 1 year. Then they jump into the portal. I mean, there are kids who are playing for four different colleges in their four-year career. You're literally recruiting this kid so somebody else can take him.
Becoming semi-pro at the college level.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not even semi-pro. You're pro. You're getting paid to play. Maybe better
to go to like a junior college or high school for the love of the game and coach.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Dana Wright, Quentin Morris. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Oh, interesting. From the New York Post, a recent study looked into the longstanding debate surrounding the impact of spanking on child development. The study, which was published in the Marriage and Family Review, you subscribe, I do too, revealed that the punishment may not be as detrimental to a child's future. The researchers found that spanking accounted for less than 1% of variations in child outcomes, showing that its negative effects may be exaggerated. The topic of whether or not spanking is an effective or harmful form of punishment has sparked considerable discussion for generations. Previous research has established a strong correlation between physical punishment and negative outcomes for children, but much of this work did not account for pre-existing behavioral issues in children.
All right. Maybe the children have behavioral issues because you're spanking them.
I was spanked.
Exactly.
Okay. Hugh, were you spanked as a child? Nope.
Yes, but not a lot. It definitely wasn't. It was like last resort type thing. I can only remember like maybe once or twice. Like,
don't you make me come over there like that?
Yeah.
Were you ever spanked?
Once with a fly swatter, and I'll never forget it because I sassed my grandma. And
who spanked you, grandma?
My grandma. And I laughed about it my entire life. I would say, remember that time you spanked me? That's why I'm so screwed. That's why I'm going to therapy. It was once, and it was with a fly swatter.
Now, you have issues, you would agree.
Yeah, but and it's because of that one time I was swatted.
Oh, please.
Think about it.
Now she can't even go into a store and look at a fly swatter.
Right. How could it be mentally healthy for any child when all we do is teach them we don't hit, we don't hit, we don't hit, we don't hit, unless I do it, to correct behavior. None of that makes any sense. If you just look at what we're really saying when you spank a child, none of it makes sense or can be logically explained to a child. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. No,
Maggie,
it's not.
Said that to me a million times.
You are actually delivering the behavior that we spend so much time telling kids is bad, wrong, harmful behavior.
Wait, but,
did you just hit your sister? You know, we don't allow hitting, but then we, in some families, turn around and try to say, unless I'm hitting you, and then that's okay.
Well, but I think the argument could be made, because I'm not anti-spanking, and I don't remember, I probably spanked the girls a handful of times, but I don't remember doing it with any regularity. My punishment, and man, this one was terrible. I would lecture. And no.
I know, that's so bad. You are going to sit here, and you are going to listen to me.
And I would lecture the girls. I would say, we're going to start with a 30-minute lecture.
I'd rather be spanked.
And I said, if you do it again, I'm going to move the lecture up to an hour.
Oh, my God. How could you talk about anything for an hour to a child?
That's what I do for a living.
I know. I would just beg you for the fly swatter.
I did that with Maya in particular. Sarah only got lectured, I think, once or twice. But Maya was the child who deserved the most lectures. And I would just wax poetic about anything. I would just sit there and talk for 30 minutes. It drove them out of their mind. But then they didn't misbehave, because they knew if they misbehaved again, it goes up to an hour.
Can we get a topic, suggestion here?
It was just anything I wanted to talk about. I would talk about Thin Lizzy.
Oh, God.
I would talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I do feel like if they studied that, it is directly linked to harm of the child. Here we go again.
Mental abuse.
Although different things work for different children, this is the author of this book that believes that this can be a useful tool. And again, I vehemently disagree. Spanking can be an effective disciplinary tool under some circumstances. Quoting here, he says, the most effective way to use spanking is two open-handed swats to the bottoms of a 2 to 6-year-old when they refuse to cooperate with milder disciplinary responses like timeout.
Maggie was actually pretty creative with hers. And I've told you this before. She used to make me sit on my hands until they went numb.
That is also torturous.
Well.
But you remember it.
You're damn right I do. I would have to sit on a wooden chair facing the corner of the house, and I would have to put my hands underneath my buttocks until they went numb. That was the punishment. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798.
I found another study that shows spanking is linked to an increased risk of anxiety, depression, and substance abuse in adulthood, that it is ineffective at changing children's behavior and can lead to less compliance, moral behavior, and pro-social behavior. It can also lead to negative parent-child relationships, you think?
Steve in North Kansas City, 586-7798. Hello, Steve.
I think the context in which you spank and you know, the way Dana describes it is it's, you know, somebody just got mad and started slapping their kid, and that's way out of line. But you know, when my kids were out of line, I would say, hey, you know, you're going to get spanked if you don't apologize, if you don't stop it. And then they'd continue, and I'd march them back to their bedroom, and I'd say, hey, you're going to go tell your mother you're sorry, or we're going to get spanked. And he'd start mouthing off, and then I'd spank him. I said, are you ready to tell your mother you're sorry? No. And he'd mouth off. I'd spank him. Do it again. I spanked him the third time.
But it isn't working, Steve.
It did work. As a matter of fact, the third time, he went down there and apologized to his mother, and he was absolutely angelic. And he knew that I wasn't going to put up with it anymore. And so, you know, you just have to let him know that, hey, I'm not going to tolerate this, not in hate, but I always gave an opportunity to get out of it. But if they were going to be belligerent and stay with that, then they're going to get spanked. And it was their choice.
Steve, thank you for the call. This is from developmentalscience.com.
Oh, I'm, you don't
Please.
Have to tell me. I'm on that website
Gripping.
Every morning. Yes.
What many people won't admit is that hitting a child can provide an emotional release and a fleeting sense of power for the grown-up. An adult may feel frustrated that they've lost control of the child, but when they strike the child stops what they're doing and usually starts crying. There's a fleeting moment where the adult feels vindicated by getting the child's attention, and that pent-up frustration or anger on the part of the adult is released. You believe, quote, it worked. And that strategy then becomes reinforced.
I forgot about washing mouths out with soap. Did your parents ever do that?
No, because, Scott, I didn't. I was a rule follower. I did not like getting yelled. I still don't like getting yelled. You know me. When somebody's yelling, I'm like, bye-bye. You're
gone. You never had your mouth washed out with soap?
No.
Oh, I did. I can tell you the brand.
Ugh. Palmolive?
Irish Spring.
Oh, that's the worst!
Yes, that was my dad's favorite soap.
Oh, gross. Because you cursed?
Yes, or I mouthed off. Yes. And then I would get my mouth washed out with soap. Here's the thing that parents don't think about. Where else has that soap been? It was my dad's soap.
Yeah. It was communal in nature on that day.
913-586-7798. Dakota in Overland Park. Dakota, hello.
Hey, love the show. I call in every Friday for the Danierisms. But they were talking about different disciplines. Did you ever have the psychological one where your parents took everything out of your room except for your bed and desk?
No. No.
Yeah. Or and Dana, you were talking about Irish Spring is the worst soap.
Yeah.
Have you had lava soap?
No, but is it worse?
Yes.
Yes, because it's gritty and it's terrible. And then, Scott, did you ever get the paddle, the either ping pong paddle or an actual, like, solid chunk of oak that was cut into the shape of, like, a cricket bat?
No, my mom's weapon of choice was a wooden spoon.
Ooh. I had everything you could think of, a switch, extension cord.
That paddle, is abuse! The extension cord, Hot Wheels tracks?
Yeah, oh, those are the worst because the whoosh it made. Oh,
whoosh. See, now Dakota needs therapy.
I mean, maybe.
All right, buddy. Be good, man. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Don't forget, we are doing the fourth Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament this Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at Serve in Overland Park. We have a limited number of slots for teams to sign up. So make sure you go to KMBZ.com as quickly as possible and register your team for the Cornhole Tournament this weekend. All the proceeds go to KC Pet Project. Somebody on the text line says that they too had their mouth washed out with soap, but it was always a clean bar because the unwrapping of the soap was part of the punishment.
Torture.
Yeah, the opening of the wrapper around the soap was part of the punishment. Tristan in Ottawa. Hello, Tristan.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
So, I don't personally have kids myself, but I have a niece and a few nephews. I'm the youngest of three. My sisters, one of them does the traditional spanking and all that other fun discipline, and her kids act fine. They act like traditional kids, but they're behaved. The other sister, she does the soft parenting, and her kids are constantly fighting against her on everything.
I would be more inclined to believe you if the girls were twins. Are they twins?
No. They're six. My sisters are each three. They're 3 years apart.
Okay.
Tristan, do appreciate the anecdotal take on spanking. Very interesting. Jason in North Kansas City. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Well.
Hey, well, the soap thing is what got me to call in. So I did have that happen to me, and I was really bitter about it, and I think I still am to this day, because I didn't actually get my mouth washed out with soap for saying the word. It was after I said, but you say it all the time. Then I got my mouth washed out.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's...
Wait, how old were you?
I think I was six.
Six? I was getting my mouth washed out at 12.
No, it was... I mean, it was 1978. So, or 77 or something like that. But anyway, and so that was what made me think about it. But as far as punishment, spanking is, I don't agree with it at all.
Okay.
When my daughter was growing up, what I did was I kind of set parameters where the punishment was kind of left up to me. It was my punishment, but she had control of it. So if she did something wrong, then I would say, like, okay, well, you have to write 300 sentences of, I'm not going to do whatever stupid thing I just did.
Like, wait, the old reverse psychology where, why don't you tell me what you think punishment, what do you think about the punishment that would fit the crime here?
Let me go outside and play.
I think you should allow me to leave the house and go drive around in my car.
Somebody says, you know, the cylinder thing that you use on blinds to open them and close them?
Yeah.
Somebody says that was their mom's weapon of choice.
Oh, that's the worst. Because it was hanging on a little hook and you could pull it up. But to me, when you start involving an instrument like that, you are brushing against...
Maggie used a wooden spoon.
Well...
And broke one or two.
You are brushing up against illegal activity. I remember my dad used to say, go get me my belt, which is similar to the unwrapping of the soap, like making the child walk to the closet.
Wait, but you said you never got spanked.
It wasn't me. I didn't say it was me.
Oh, go get me my belt for your brother.
Yes, go get me my belt.
Gladly, Dad. Did you run to go get it?
No, I'm like, that is like, psychologically awful.
Did you skip to your dad's bedroom?
No.
Guess what, Austin? I'll be right back. Linda in Pleasant Hill. Hello.
Hi. Once upon a time, my dad had one of those little rubber paddle balls and cut the ball off of it. And that paddle was used for exactly that. And my youngest sister had done something and she knew it was coming. So she ran upstairs and loaded her pants with toilet paper or Kleenex to soften the blow, so to speak. And once my dad whacked her with that, he figured that out, and he pulled all that stuff out. And my other sister and I were looking at each other, well, why didn't we think of that first? But, yeah, that only happened once. And when she really got the big smack, it was tough to take, I think.
Okay.
Thank you for the memory. I just looked up the paddle ball. Do you remember that paddle ball with that little red rubber ball?
Well, it looks like a ping pong paddle, right?
Yeah. Well, it was wood. It looked more like a spoon that they give you with like ice cream in the little, like at the lunchroom.
Oh, yeah.
Remember paddle ball?
Yeah.
Absolute strangulation hazard, by the way, that little rope on that thing.
Okay. Seriously?
I'm sure multiple children their demise.
I'm sure no children ever met their demise.
Pretty sure that's a CPSC nightmare.
From the string, which was elastic, on a paddleball paddle. 586-7798. Don in Kearney. Hello, Don.
Hey, how are you all?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
You bet. Well, you know, I never did this because I never had a boy, a son. But a fella at work that I used to work with, my best friend at work, he had a son, and as soon as he got old enough, when he'd get in trouble, he'd make him go out. He had 3 acres, and he'd make him go out and dig a hole 6 foot wide, 6 foot long, 6 foot deep. And then when he was done digging the hole, he'd make him fill it back up. And I always thought that was a great way to not have your kid be resentful at you, like when you ground them and stuff like that and take away privileges. I just thought that was a great punishment.
Make him do it. But my only problem with that idea is, did the kid think he was digging his own grave? You want, how deep, Dad? 6 feet. Dad, that's the same depth
as a
grave.
And did we call 1-800-DIG-RIGHT?
Great question. But if they're out in the country, highly unlikely that you would need to. Stephen in Olathe, and then we'll get one more in real quick. Stephen, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'd been spanked with various objects that only the mind could think of, you know, belts, sticks and paddles and spoons. But the worst was having to go out to the willow tree and picking your own switch.
Yep.
Picking the same instrument of your punishment. And if you didn't get it right the first time and she had to go out there and do it, then it was going to be even worse. And one time I had made the mistake of, you know, she told me to go upstairs to my room, and I did. And while I was doing that, while she was preparing to give my punishment, I was putting on extra layers of clothing underneath, and that just made the punishment worse. But, you know, carrying through to when my daughter was born, I did use a SWAT, like one or two SWATs, in between the ages of 2 to 6, but I wouldn't have called it spanking. Not what I would think of as traditional spanking. It was more like SWATs to get the attention and say that I mean business. And again, it was just stopped. The corporal punishment was stopped, like, you know, 6, 7 years old. And then it went to suiting the punishment, such as, you know, if you're speaking back, then it's something. If it's you're being grounded, then you're being stuck in a corner, or go to your room or whatever. And like one time, my ex had taken all of her toys from her. Oh. The psychological damage of pulling all of the toys from the room. And I knew nothing about it, but the trash truck was coming by, and my daughter is just wailing, crying. And I'm like, what is wrong, sweetheart?
Say goodbye to Barbie.
Now that's psychological torture.
Say goodbye to Barbie.
She says. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's just trash. Don't worry. And then I found out that that mom had all of her toys in a trash bag downstairs, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you're the worst. So.
All right, Steve. Do appreciate the call.
The only thing I ever did that I thought was funny and clever, and I don't remember who gave me the idea, but I did it more than once.
This is as a parent.
Yep, as a parent of the teenager that was either misbehaving, sneaking out at night, is I removed the door.
To their bedroom?
Yeah, I'm not handy at all, but I learned how to remove a door. It's not hard, turns out. And I would remove that door, and then they would come home, and there's just no door on their bedroom door. And in fact, once I did it because one of them slammed the door. And, you know, it was like, don't you slam that. Bam!
Oh,
I was
like, something's coming off the hinges.
Oh, I'm showing you. I know how to YouTube that. I'm going to get that door off and put it in the basement. You ain't getting it back.
It is funny you mentioned that. I hadn't even thought of this, but you jogged my memory. I never did it. But I threatened both of my daughters if I ever find out, because I'm so anti-bullying.
Yeah.
I said, if I ever find out that you have bullied somebody in school, or outside of school for that matter, the door comes off its hinges for exactly 365 days.
A year?
Yep. Thank God I never had to do it.
An hour lecture and a year of no door.
That's right.
I'd rather take the no door. Heck, you can take the bathroom door. Just please stop talking.
Now, Maya, let me tell you about the 1980 Pittsburgh Steelers football team. Rachel in Green Valley, you get the last word. Hello, Rachel.
Hi. So, hello?
Yes, hi. We're listening.
Okay. I'm sorry. I would always talk myself out of a spanking. And there was one time that really sticks in my head because my mom cracked up laughing during this. I was smarting off to my dad at 13 years old, and he went to go spank me with his belt, and he just done that whole whip it out with one motion and one hand swipe, and you just swoosh and hear it. And I say, wait, stop. Do they pull you aside in school and teach you how to do this in one pull and, like, that intimidation factor?
Oh.
And my dad's like, what? And my mom's cracking up laughing in the background. And he goes, what are you talking about? I was like, they have to teach you that. I mean, do they pull all boys aside and say, when you're a dad, do this. Scare the crap out of your kids. And
Smart play.
And then my dad's like, I don't even remember what I was going to spank you for. And I looked at him.
Mission accomplished. Well,
I said, if you figure that out, I'm going to be back in my room. And I just took off down the hallway. And I never got a spanking. So,
Rachel, well played. Very well played. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, we have the bonus hour coming up next. You can also check out the Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Well, a story here from ABC News. Two suspects have been arrested in connection with a Michigan home invasion in which the perpetrators are believed to have gained entry by posing as utility workers.
Have you seen the stills? It's on Ring doorbell.
No, I haven't seen.
They look exact. I mean, they have the vest that you can buy online. They have the clipboard with like letterhead that they ripped off from the utility company. And they both look like utility workers.
Carlos Hernandez, 37, was arrested on Saturday, according to the Oakland County Sheriff's Office. He's been charged with murder. They're trying to extradite him from Louisiana. And earlier today, the Sheriff's Office said it had arrested the second suspect, but did not release his identity. He was arrested without incident following a traffic stop in Michigan.
So they are saying, Scott, that this is, quote, an incredibly targeted attack. That, you know, in kind of police speak, they're saying there is no danger whatsoever, ongoing danger to the community with utility worker imposters willy-nilly. Right. That for some reason, and I think he was like a jewelry store owner or a pawnbroker or something.
He was 72 years old, the man that they allegedly killed. Let me see if it says what he did for a living.
Yeah, it has something to do with jewelry or something. And here's what's kind of like odd. The day before, the same two.
Oh, yeah, there's a picture of them.
They look like utility workers, but keep in mind, you can buy any vest like that on Amazon and the clipboard, but they do look official. The day before, they also came by the house and wanted to gain entry because, quote, we're looking around at gas leaks, and they were denied. Either the wife or the husband said, no. Then they came back the next day, and the wife or the husband let them in, and they walked downstairs with the husband. They're like, we're looking for, we got reports of a gas leak. They went downstairs with the husband, and when they came back, he was either in handcuffs and they duct taped her.
Yeah.
Police say
she
survived, that the male homeowner's injuries were so awful, they could not at first discern manner of death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Is there any indication they knew him or just knew of him?
I don't know if this is going to be because of the business this guy was in or because...
Look at their front porch. I mean, this is just the exterior.
Yes, the stone.
They clearly were a couple of some means. That is a very nice front porch. Yeah, he's got a clipboard. He's also wearing a mask, like a COVID mask. Well, they've caught the two people they think are responsible.
Would you allow anyone in your home with a clipboard and a bat?
No,
like, I'm telling you, we've kind of gotten to the point where I would be like, nope, I'm not buying it.
No. I got a letter the other day from the IRS about my request regarding my identity theft, blah, blah, blah. I called the number on the sheet, and I said, first of all, I'm calling to let you know I didn't file an identity theft complaint. And he goes, well, before I can open up your file, I need your social security number. I said, how do I know that this is actually the IRS? He goes, well, you called us. I said, no, I called the number on this letter. And you identified yourself as being with the IRS. I said, I don't know if you're with the IRS or not.
Yet you called.
And I wanted to get the matter cleared up, but I'm not giving some guy that.
Did he want you to send them Bitcoin?
No. No, they didn't. We got to run. Don't forget to sign up for the Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is this Saturday. You can register your team at KMBZ.com. He is Quentin Morris. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Be safe, be well, and be good. We'll see you tomorrow, too.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.